Very thankful this morning that there is a prayer bell that we can ring in time of trouble, in time of difficulty. We can pray, and there is a Father up in heaven that is hearing and is listening, and He's answering. The title of the message this morning is very simple title. Ask. In some countries, I think particularly I encounter it most in Malawi, you can be places and I'll have children coming up to me and putting their hand out and say, give me money. And it's not just children. I've had many adults come up that I didn't even know and they would say, give me money. So I would sometimes turn around and ask them to give me some. I thought, well, if this is how it works. But they are taught. The reason is, to us from our culture, that's very rude. It's very rude to go up. It sounds very demanding. But in their culture, they are actually taught that, for example, if you need something, and you then go to your uncle and ask him for it. I must be a lot of people's uncle. But the thing is that that's what they're taught, is to go, and if you need something, ask. And ask for it. Well, do you realize that Jesus taught us to ask? Over in the book of Matthew, if you will turn with me to Matthew in the 7th chapter, and I know probably many of you can quote this passage. It's a scripture that we try to teach our children. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7, this is the instruction that Jesus gave, and He said, ask. And then He added a little bit more, didn't He? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, shall it be opened. You realize that that was a there are some promises there that were given to us. If you have a need this morning, and I know we talked about a little bit in prayer requests, but if you have a need this morning, ask. We already, this scripture, the song was already mentioned. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I wonder sometimes how much and how often we carry burdens in our life because we have not taken them to Jesus. So Jesus said to ask, and it shall be given. That word ask means to request, but it also means to beg. You remember the story of the importunate widow? The story where the widow came to the unjust judge and she asked for something and he didn't answer, and she kept coming back until he said, lest I'm weary of her coming, I'm just going to do what she asked. The analogy was not that God is unjust, but Jesus prefaced that parable with saying, he told the parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, do not get weary of coming to the Lord asking. Now, as a parent, sometimes our children will come and ask, and we might answer them, or they will ask, and then they'll come over and over, and it's like, you already asked me once, don't ask me again. I don't know if I'm the only parent that has ever said that. But you've already asked me once. I know what you need. But do you realize that's not what Jesus taught us? Jesus taught us to keep going to the Father. If you have a need, ask. And if asking isn't just enough, he said, knock. You know, ask and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be given. One of the ways to remember that verse, and I'll just mention it since I just got it wrong. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask and then seek and then knock. It's an easy way to help remember that. You just put that in your file cabinet. But to ask means that if I'm going to ask, but I'm not just going to do it once, I'm going to keep seeking God for my need. I'm going to keep coming to the throne of God. And if it seems like that it's still not working, I'm going to stand there and I'm just going to knock. Have you ever gone somewhere and you timidly knocked on the door and said, well, no one's there? I think you didn't want to see him to start with. But if you really want to see someone, it's like you're going to knock on that door, and you're going to kind of listen to hear if you hear some stirring in the house somewhere. And if you think they might be home, you might just knock louder. That's what Jesus taught us to do. If you have a need in your life, and there is a burden that you are carrying, ask God for it. Seek the Lord for it and knock. And Jesus said the door would be open, because everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. He said, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? If your children are really hungry, and you say, well, here's a rock. He said, what father is going to do that? He said, or if you ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And in one of the Gospels, it goes on to say that he was referring to the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was tied to this exact scripture in some of the other Gospels. Here in the book of Matthew, he didn't go on with that. But if you have a need, what he's saying is, just like a father wants to help his children, God knows how to give us and provide for the needs that we have. But the scripture says it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Lord's will this morning for you to grow spiritually. If there are areas of spiritual failure in your life, it is the will of God for you to overcome. It is the will of God for you to find a place of victory. It is the will of God for you to have grace, which means if you say, well, I prayed or I've gone to the altar about that problem before and I still have it. And sometimes people settle down and say, I guess this is just the way it is. I say, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, because it is the will of God for you to have a life of victory. So if it doesn't happen overnight, don't give up. Don't get weary of seeking the Lord. Now, there's a little bit more to this, because the Lord is not a vending machine. You know, what do you do with a vending machine? Anybody have four quarters? Used to, it was a quarter. You could get a soda. Now, I don't know how much it is now. $2? It's gone up, hasn't it? Now it's not the change, it's the bills. But you go up to a vending machine and put your money in and you push a button and you get it, right? Some people treat God that way. Well, I can just come and say my little prayer and I'm going to get it. How strong would we be spiritually if God instantly gave us every single thing that we ask for? We would be a weak, lazy people, wouldn't we? The Lord is not a vending machine, and yet He told us, ask and it shall be given to you. So, Lord, teach us then, what does this mean? Because we have to have all the scriptures all work together. So, Lord, give us wisdom this morning. How does this really work? In the book of 1 John, in the 5th chapter, 1 John chapter 5, in the 14th verse, he said, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Now, this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Did you notice that he gave a little more information here? He said, if we ask anything according to what? His will. Lord, that Lamborghini sure looked nice. If I ask enough and I seek enough, is the Lord going to give me a Lamborghini? Is that going to be profitable for me spiritually? Is that my humility of heart that wants to be driving down the road in that Lamborghini, have everybody looking and seeing who's driving it? Is that going to help me out spiritually? The scripture says, ask, that when we ask and petition God, this is our confidence. Our confidence is that when we ask according to His will, He's going to give it. Our prayer should be according to the will of God this morning. Do you realize that faith is not in asking for a Lamborghini this morning? Faith is in asking God to do what He has promised us that He would do. Faith is in asking God what He has given us an assurance. This is my will, and I'm Lord, I'm still going hungry. Lord, I still have a spiritual need. Lord, I'm still struggling here. And so I can come with confidence to God in my prayer. He said, this is our confidence, that when we ask according to His will, He hears us and He grants those requests. So if you need something, if anybody here were hungry, I'm speaking literally, if anyone here were hungry and you didn't have food and you didn't tell anybody, you're going to go home hungry. But you know what? If you are hungry this morning and you have no money and no food, and you come to me after service and say, Brother Michael, I'm hungry and I don't have any food to eat, I will be sure that you have something to eat. We will be sure that you have something to eat by the help of the Lord. But there are things spiritually sometimes that we go home hungry. I'm talking spiritually. It's because we're not asking. If we're not coming to the Lord seeking for the things that we need in life, how do we expect to get them? But when we come and asking according to His will. So I think it's important for us to understand what is the will of God then, because isn't that sometimes the struggle as well? So if it's the will of God and I ask and I still don't get it, what do I need to do? Pray and don't faint. Keep praying. Don't lose hope, but keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking until the answer comes. There is a song that's sung many years ago, and I want to say the Sherman sang it, but I can't, I remember. It's pray on till the answer comes. Just pray on. Don't stop praying until the answer comes. Well, we can ask with confidence, though. There's times that you... We can come to the Lord and we don't even believe what we're asking for. Am I the only one that's done that? I know that sounds kind of harsh, but have you ever prayed and then you just stop and think, do I have confidence in what I'm praying? Do I have the faith that I need? Because confidence comes from having faith. It comes from believing that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Lord wants us to pray with confidence this morning. He wants us to pray with assurance, and we can do that when it's in accordance to His will. So then what is the will of God? Is it God's will if someone has mistreated you and hurt you? Is it God's will for you to forgive them? Yes. So in your pain, you can come with confidence. With confidence. Knowing it is the will of God for me to forgive, but Lord, I can't do it in my own strength. I need some help. It is God's will to give you grace to enable you to forgive and to love and to go the extra mile and be what God wants you to be. That is the will of God this morning. So you can pray with confidence. Is it God's will for you to be comforted in times of grief? He promised that He was a comforter. So when we're grieving, we can come to the Lord with assurance. Lord, I need some help here. I need some comfort. It is the will of God to be your comforter. It is the will of God for you to have grace this morning, to find a place of His favor to enable you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. It is God's will. So we can come with confidence in our weakness and say, Lord, I want to please You, and I'm feeling really weak right here, and I don't have the ability to do it, but Lord, I believe that You can enable me to do it. We can have confidence in that. We don't have to come with a wishy-washy prayer, but we can come with confidence because it is the will of God. It is the will of God for us to have the Holy Spirit this morning. That is His will. So when we pray, if someone has not received the anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when they pray, we can pray with confidence and assurance and faith that God will give us the Holy Spirit when we ask. How do I know that? Because He promised that He would. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and you ask me, I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes people don't have because they haven't been asking and seeking and knocking. What about wisdom? Does anybody here lack wisdom? Doesn't the scripture in James say that if any man lack wisdom, James 1 and 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That was a promise. So if you want to please the Lord with your life, but you're at one of those junctures like, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I don't know which path I'm supposed to go down. It is the will of God for you to have wisdom. And so we can come in our lack and pray with confidence, knowing that the Lord is going to answer that prayer. Because He promised us that He would. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But the next verse goes right with it. I'm going to read what verse 6 says there in James. But let him ask in faith. You say, well, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Yes, but God promised that you could. But I ask Him once. Well, then keep asking. With confidence. Because He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. In other words, we need to believe. When we come in prayer, we need to believe that God is going to answer the prayer. You remember Jesus went about doing miracles, many mighty, wonderful miracles and works. But there was one place He went that the scripture says that Jesus did not many mighty works. You remember why? Because of their unbelief. They didn't believe in Him. So it means that our lack of faith will limit God from doing the very thing that He wants to do in our life, because we are limiting Him. If I don't believe that God can do this for me, He's not going, more often than not, He's not going to do it, because He wants us to believe in who and what He is. So when we come to God and we pray, we say, well, how do we have faith? Believe in the giver. Believe in God Himself. And when we believe in God, we can come with boldness to the throne of grace, knowing that He's going to answer. We're not talking about mind over matter here, okay? We're not talking about, well, if I can just believe something enough, it's going to happen. If I'm going to believe that's going to happen enough, no, believe in God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. The focus is on the He, not what you get from it. Our faith is in God, not in the outcomes. But when we believe in God, we can pray with confidence when we are praying according to the will of God. So then that means we need to ask ourselves, are we praying in accordance to the will of God? I don't need a Lamborghini. Don't think it would be good for me spiritually. So I'm not going to pray for it. Because it's not according to the will of God. So it's not, if I believe enough, I'm going to get it. We need to be really careful about trying to twist God's arm to get things, because I believe it, so God's going to have to do it. Are you praying according to the will of God? We believe in the unanimity of Scripture, that all the Scriptures work together. So when Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, the preface there, the understanding is that we're asking in accordance to the will of God. But when it's according to the will of God, we can come with assurance and confidence and boldness. Well, I'd like to share just a few examples this morning, and we're not going to take, you don't have to turn and read them all. But do you remember the story of Hezekiah? In 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah was sick, and it looked like he was going to die. The scripture said he was sick, nigh unto death. And the prophet actually came to him. The prophet of the Lord came and said, "Thou set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." So now we know, God through his prophet let him know, you're going to die. And it said that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed, and he asked for God to extend his life. And the scripture tells us that God said, "I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. I will heal thee." And he added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. So that lets us know that when we are praying and we are asking of God, maybe something was a certain way. But when we petition God, we have the freedom and the privilege this morning of asking God to do differently than what it appears the way things are going. Lord, you said I was going to die, but Lord, I petition you. Would you give me 15 more years? Lord, would you add some years to my life? And the Lord heard him, and he knew his faith and his trust. And he said, "I've seen your tears, and I'm going to answer your prayer." Well, what about Paul? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He had a thorn in the flesh. There was an impediment that Paul had. Now, there's lots of, you know, we can all surmise what that impediment was. Some think that it was a speech impediment. There's different scriptures that kind of would lend, "I come not to you with excellency of speech, but with fervency of spirit." There were some that, some old writings even, that would indicate that maybe Paul, even though he was eloquent in what he said, that the way he said it, his speech was a problem. I don't know if that's what it was or not. It could have been many things. But whatever it was, he came to the Lord and he said, he had this thorn in the flesh, and he said, "I sought the Lord," how many times? Three times. He said, "I came and I sought the Lord that it might depart from me." Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He was praying that God would remove this thing out of his life. It might have been a person that was a problem in his life. But we also find Paul saying, "Lord, save me from unreasonable men." It might have been someone that was just there, just always a thorn in his flesh, on his side. I don't know. And yet he asked God to remove it. And this is what the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul's response was, "Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Lord, if you want me to stay in this weakened condition, if that's going to be best for me spiritually and you're going to assist me with your grace, then I would rather stay weak that you can have your right of way in my life. There was no need to go back and pray about it again, was there? Because God gave a definitive answer. He sought the Lord three times. He sought the Lord, pray on until the answer comes. And when the answer comes, the Lord is going to fulfill his promise. That means that we have the right and the freedom. He didn't do that to Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, "Lord, you told me that I'm going to die, but Lord, couldn't you change? Lord, would you allow me?" And the Lord said, "Yes." Well, what about Nineveh? Remember, Jonah went to Nineveh with a message, "The Lord is going to destroy you." And they repented and asked God's forgiveness. Were they destroyed? Did God lie? Because the message was, "God's going to destroy you." No, God does not change. I am the Lord, I am God, and I change not, the scripture said. He is God, he doesn't change. But the reality is, he didn't change his character, but he will do different things depending on our responses. So where the judgment of God was going to be poured out, when Nineveh repented and said, "We're sorry," the Lord said, "I'm going to withdraw my judgment then because I see you're repentant." So the Lord did change. The same thing when the children of Israel built a golden calf. And God was going to destroy them. And remember, Moses stood up and he prayed. He's like, Lord, please don't destroy him. Please, what are the Egyptians going to say, Lord, if they see you brought them out and then you killed them? Lord, would you please spare them? And the scripture says here that God turned away his judgment. He repented. The scripture says he repented of the evil which he thought unto the people. It doesn't mean that God did evil, but what the scripture is better translated in saying is that God turned away his judgment. See, God is perfect. His character did not change. Which means when we have the privilege to come to the Lord and ask him to intervene, Lord, I know that you are going to pour your judgment out, but Lord, would you give some more space of time? Do you know that's what we do when we pray for our unsaved loved ones? The Spirit of the Lord is going to be faithful to deal with everybody. That's scriptural. So why are we wasting our time praying? God is going to do what he said he would do. He will deal justly with every man. I believe that this morning. I believe that he's going to give everybody an opportunity according to his word. So why even pray for the lost? Why even pray for the unsaved? It is because people that have rejected God and turned their back on God, the Lord may take them at their word and eventually he'll step back and said, I'm going to respect your choice. And then here comes a saint of God saying, Father, would you please go and deal with them again? Would you please send your Holy Spirit and bring conviction? The Lord won't force them to be saved, but he can listen to your prayers. And he said, I see your tears, and I'm going to send my Spirit in the dark of the night to deal with them again because of your prayers. See, that's where the prayers of God's saints changes. And God does what maybe he wouldn't have done because of faith and belief and praying with confidence. Well, when we pray, our prayer needs to be in submission to the Father. And there's no better example of that than Christ himself. When he was in the garden praying before he was crucified in Luke chapter 22, his prayer, he was saying, Father, if thou be willing... Do what? Remove this cup from me. If thou be willing, do you realize that there were some hard things and Jesus was asking the Lord, basically, Lord, take this from me if you be willing, but not my will, but thy will be done. Do you realize that's where we find peace in our prayers and in our faith in difficult times? Sometimes we don't know what the will of God is. It's not mind over matter. I'll illustrate it this way. We got a call one time from someone, and there was a lot of hubbub going on. Someone was dying in this amongst the saints, and there were people there that were saying, "Just have faith. Take up your bed and walk." And they were all trying to get this person to get out of bed and trying to get him to get. They were dying. We got a phone call, and we get down and say, "Lord, would you please just bring peace and quietness?" Folks, when God does a work, he will do the work. It's not mind over matter. It's not if I can just force this thing. No, when faith takes hold to get out of bed is when Jesus says, get out of bed. It's not because I said, oh, brother, take up your bed and walk. It's when the Lord says, I want you to take up your bed and walk, then I'm going to take up my bed and walk by the power of God. It's not because I said it, but I'm going to believe in the one that said it. Renee's father was on his deathbed, and I remember getting a call one night, and it was on speakerphone. The family was around. There was someone said, God showed me he's going to heal him, and everybody was all getting all that, and I sensed this is not right, and I had to walk out of the room. There was a spirit. I knew this is not from God, and yet it gets people all worked up. Faith is not getting things worked up. And her father passed away. Faith is not getting things worked up. Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing. And when the Lord says, I'm going to heal him, he'll do it. When I was sick and I was getting to the place I could not walk and I was having so many seizures, the Lord gave me, and I was at Guthrie during a camp meeting, actually, or assembly meeting. It was a number of years ago. And the Lord gave me a scripture and let me know he was going to heal me. I wrote it down in my Bible. And I testified to it, and it didn't happen. for quite a long time, but God did what He said He was going to do. It gave me a foundation. It wasn't just hoping against hope. There have been people I have known and loved and have great confidence that one that said, "Well, I have faith that this is going to happen," and it didn't happen. Did God let them down? I don't believe He did. But it's, "Lord, I believe You showed me this is what You're going to do. So when I pray, I'm going to have confidence in it. But Lord, not my will." And when I don't know what God wants, I'm going to still ask for it. I want to ask according to His will, though. I'm going to still ask for it. But I'm going to always say, "But not my will." So when people come to be prayed for spiritually, I don't actually have to pray, "Not my will." You know why? Because it is God's will. If you need to be delivered, if you need grace, if you need the Holy Spirit, if you're struggling, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said He would give that. So if you don't get it right away, we're going to stay and keep asking and seeking and knocking, because God will answer your prayer when we are in the condition to receive it. He will. But there are some things that I don't know. So as we pray, claiming and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, we're going to believe in the giver of all things. We're going to believe that we're coming to the Father who loves us and cares for us. But I'm still going to say, "But Lord, not our will, but Thy will be done." And if we can, more can be done spiritually. I would not want the Lord to heal a sick person if they would get well and lose their soul. There are some people that have been afflicted. It might very well have been their salvation that kept them in that place. I don't want to pray against that, but I want to preface it, "Lord, not my will." But when God speaks and you know it is the Lord, you can have confidence in your prayer. You can pray and believe. Well, we're going to conclude here in just a couple of minutes here. The Scripture says without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them which diligently seek Him. So if you have need, and when you have need, and I know we all do, let's pray with confidence. Let's pray with faith. Let's pray with according to His will. And let's ask. Have you been asking God? You say, "Well, I've had this problem. It's been there a long time." Okay, maybe you ask once or twice, but have you been seeking God? "Lord, help me to..." It takes humility to ask. You know, if some people might have a need and they just are too proud to ask for help. You know, we're all pretty independent folks, aren't we? Most of us are pretty independent. It takes humility sometimes to ask for help. It's kind of like, "No, I'll do it. I can get it. I don't know how many times. So I'll get it. And then you hurt yourself. It's like, "Well, I should have had someone help me." Sometimes spiritually, we don't have because we don't ask. I'd like to conclude with one scripture in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 in the second verse. He said here, "You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." You have not because you ask not. And then he went on, and this is where we're going to conclude. He said, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." "Lord, give me that Lamborghini." "No, I'm asking amiss. I'm asking to consume it upon my lust. It's not going to be benefiting to me spiritually." And so that's why the Bible teaches us, have faith in God. He's not a vending machine. But you can come to God with confidence that He is going to answer your prayers in accordance to His will. When we pray according to His will, and even when it looks like something's going a different direction, we've got lots of examples that we come to the Lord and we petition Him. "Lord, if it be possible, would You change this, Lord?" But we always want to conclude with, "But not my will, but Thy will be done." And when God's will is accomplished, it doesn't mean our prayers were of none effect. It doesn't mean that we did not have the faith that we should have, because when you have faith in God, you can be at rest no matter what the consequences and results are, because I have made a connection with God and I'm trusting in Him, and whatever happens, I can be at peace resting in the hands of God. You have not because you ask not. May the Lord help us to ask with confidence when we have need. Amen.